chairs back there in the back, and you can grab one back there. Hey, I just want to say, man, the church this week, there are some workers here that, I mean, have worked hard all week long, serving pizza, steaks, cooking steaks, and all that. Let's give them a big round of applause. Amen. Those steaks look really good, and I normally don't eat before I preach, but I had to take, like, just a couple of pieces just to make sure they were okay for y'all so nothing would happen and stuff. But I don't eat before I preach, and the reason is I was in Tennessee one time, and I ate some barbecue before I preached, and, man, I was in the middle of my sermon. I was serious, and I just, man, you know how you just feel it coming? And so I had one of them lapel mics on, one of them little clip-on deal here, and I felt it coming. I just, you know, natural instinct, you go like that, and I just ripped one into the mic, and just everybody kept on laughing. They wouldn't stop, and it was, and then everybody get quiet, and then somebody in the back go he, and then everybody's laughing at everybody. So I stopped eating before I preach, but I want you to know I did taste it for you to make sure it was okay, and it was FDA approved and all that stuff. So, but I want to say this. I have a friend of mine named Zach that used to travel with me for about 3 years. And it was he was about 21, 22, and he came to me one day and he said, "Hey, Ronnie," he said, "Miranda and I," that was his girlfriend at the time, she looks like Carrie Underwood, and he's buffed up, you know, all muscled up and stuff. He said, "Miranda and I are going to get married." He said, I was wondering if you'd do me a favor, if you would do our wedding." I said, "Zach, I'd be honored to do your wedding." I said, "But I got to tell you the truth." And he said, "What?" I said, "If I'm doing your wedding, premarital counseling, I got to let you know what you're getting into before this whole thing goes down. So I've got to tell you the truth." And he said, "Well, what?" I said, "You need to know, Zach, that you're going to get ripped off from the get-go. Just so you know that." And he said, "Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell y'all this. Your kids, we didn't lose them. Those of y'all that have fifth through third grade, they're back in the back. We just didn't have room for them to come in here. So there's a couple of ladies that they're watching them. They're good." So you're like, "Oh, no, that's okay. Keep them back in the whole time. That's all right." But so anyway, so Zach, I said, "Zach, you're going to get ripped off from the get-go." And he said, "Well, no, I'm not going to get ripped off." I said, "Yes, you are." He said, "No." He said, "How?" I said, "All right." I said, "Let me ask you a question. Before you came to ask me to do your wedding, what was the first thing you had to go do?" He thought about it for a second. He goes, "Go buy a ring." I said, "That's exactly what I'm talking about." I said, "Zach, you're a poor college student. You don't have a dime to your name. And you go out there and buy a multi-$1,000 ring, and you're going in debt from the get-go. I said, you're going to be paying on a thing for the rest of your life." He said, "Well, that's the only thing." I said, "Oh, no, Zach. Mm-mm." I said, "I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get ripped off, day after day after day on this thing." He goes, "How?" I said, "Okay, let me tell you what they're going to start doing." I said, "You're getting married. They're going to do these little baths for y'all. Parties. Bath parties. Showers. That's what I'm talking about. Showers. And they're going to give you these presents and stuff, and they're going to say it's for the bride and groom. But, Zach, it's not. It's not for you at all." I said, "All the presents are for the ladies, for the girls." He goes, "Nuh-uh." He said, "I got to register, so I got to pick stuff out, and I got to pick it out online and stuff." I said, "Zach, where'd you get to register at?" He said, "Bed Bath & Beyond, Dillard's, Macy's." I said, "That's what I'm talking about." I said, "Zach, if it was for you, you'd get to register at, like, Cabela's, Bass Pro Shop, Home Depot, Lowe's, that kind of stuff. Listen, ladies, y'all want to give us china? We don't want no china. Now, you want to give us plates? Tell you what you do. Give us 1,000 paper plates. That's what a groom needs, 1,000 paper. So when it's our turn to do the dishes, hey, babe, I got this one. Oh, you want me to clean up? I got it. And we're getting our little shot back. I got it, honey. Whoa, just suck it all up right there. That's what we need. We don't need no stinking china. No, give us 1,000 paper plates." But he said, "Well, no, that's the only thing I'm getting ripped off." I said, "Oh, no, Zach." I said, "You're going to get ripped off the wedding, so you just better get ready for it." He goes, how am I going to get ripped off? I get a say. I said, no, you don't. You don't get a say. He said, I got to choose you. I said, that's it. That's all you got to do. I said, and that was just like a token to act like, you know, you got something to do with this. I said, you don't have anything to do with this. I said, it's about her. It's all about her. So you better get used to that. He said, how? I can tell y'all this because he's not here and y'all don't know him. Let me tell you what happened at Zach's wedding. Zach's wedding. At the reception, guess what? Bride's cake over here. 7 foot tall. Has all kinds of layers and tiers and all kinds. Have Ken and Barbie at the top. Champagne fountain shooting at the top. Live birds flying around it. Remote control limo at the bottom for Ken and Barbie. What did Zach get? I'm going to tell you right now. They forgot to get his cake. I guarantee you. Because here's what he got. He got some pitiful little groom's cake. One layer. Chocolate. And let me tell you what I guarantee you, they said, they got up there and they saw the big, you know, bride's cake. Everybody, oh, look at that. Look at that. So pretty. Oh, we got to get a groom's cake. Hey, somebody go to Walmart. Somebody go walk. Get one of them happy birthday cakes and just scrape off the top. And we'll do with a toothpick. We'll write groom's cake on it. We'll throw a duck on it and that'll be it. That's what he got. That's what he got. And then here's the thing. I said, Zach, you know, not only are you going to get ripped off the wedding, you're going to get ripped off in the wedding. He said, how? Case in point, my wedding, okay? My dad did my wedding, all right? So I'm over here. We got in the corner and stuff, and we're in one of these little rooms over here. And so my dad's leading, and then me and my groomsmen, and we're here. And do y'all have one of them wedding coordinators here at your church? Do y'all have a wedding coordinator? That's good. Okay. So you don't, Jerry? Okay. So let me tell you what happened. There's a wedding coordinator at this church. She stands at the back. Her cue for us to come in is she's supposed to just nod her head. That's for us to know that we're supposed to come in. All right, so we're sitting here. She's at the back. All the grandparents get seated. She does this little nod. Dad said, okay, that's for us. It's time for us to go. I said, well, wait, Dad, wait. He goes, what? I said, Dad, listen. I said, I don't hear any music. I said, I don't think that was for us. He goes, oh, okay. We're just sitting there. Oh, now the wedding coordinator, she's throwing a bigger signal. Now it's like this. He said, I think she's wanting us to go. I think it's time for us to go. I said, well, wait, I don't hear any music. He goes, oh, okay. So we're sitting there. Now the wedding coordinator is ticked off. She's back here. She's giving it this number. He goes, I think it's really for us. We got to go. I said, all right. We walk out. No music. No nothing. We walk out. Everybody's looking at me like, oh, so that's who she's marrying? She could have done better than that. But no, when the bride comes out, whole different ball game. Oh, let me tell you. So I come out, no music. Everybody just looking at me. Bride comes out. Oh, before she comes out, in my wedding, we had these four miniature little girls. And they had these little miniature bride's dresses on. All right? All of them have a basket with rose petals in it. So they get their own music. Okay? They're not even getting married, and they're getting their own music. And then I don't even know what it was. It was like some tinkle music, just tinkle, tinkle. And then here they start coming down the aisle, one at a time. And they're dropping the little rose petals exactly where they're supposed to drop them. Pop, pop, pop. And walking down the aisle. And everybody's, oh, oh. And they come right down where they're supposed to stand. And pop, 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 pop. And don't move a lick. Not on my side. Uh-uh. I don't get no cute little girls. No, you know what I get? I get some snot-nosed little boy. I don't even know who he is. We come in, and he's playing cops and robbers with the crowd. Pow, 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 shooting. I'm getting my groom. Hey, tie that boy up. Hog time. Throw him down right there. Don't let him get up. Oh, but then, after the little bride girls get in here, now it's the bridesmaids. Now we kick it up a notch. Now it is tinkle music with an orchestra. So it was tinkle, tinkle, whoo. Tinkle, tinkle, whoo. So here comes the bridesmaids coming down the aisle. Oh, you know how many bridesmaids were in our wedding? No joke. I'm not kidding. Not one, not two, not three, not four. 10. 10 bridesmaids in my wedding. Do you understand? I don't have 10 friends. I had to hire 8 people off the street. I don't even know. Just to put them in a tux to match up to her side. She's got a daggum choir up here. And they're just like all up here. So then once they get up here, then there is a dramatic pause. And then you hear this one chord. The C chord. Hit it, Miss Stephanie. Y'all all almost stood up just then. Admit it. Admit it. You will want to stand up, turn around, and salute the back. It's just built into you. You hear the C chord, you stand up back, and you ladies, y'all start crying at that point. Even if you don't know the woman. So what are you crying about? You don't even know her. She's just so pretty. It's just so pretty. It's so special. It's so special. And then here's what happens. The doors in the back of the church swing open. Smoke comes down the aisle. A couple of white dove are released in the building. And then the bride appears in the doorway magically with her father in tow. And then you hear this song. Hit it, Miss Stephanie. I'm thinking, what is taking so long? I mean, I just walked in. I mean, I know you get married once in your life, but this is ridiculous. Really? Here it is. No, go to the front. We're still coming down the aisle. Finally, I figured out what it was. You know what's taking her so long to get down the aisle? She's got a train on the back of her dress, 60 feet out the church. She can't even pull it down the aisle. Wish I'd have worked my legs out a little more in the gym. Finally, Uncle Fred can't take it no more. Uncle Fred whips out his pocket knife, cuts that thing off. She gets to the front. Y'all give Miss Stephanie a hand. She gets to the front of the church. The pastor says, "Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today in the presence of all you folks to celebrate this holy matrimony. Who gives this bride away?" Her dad says, "Her mother and I do." He kisses his daughter, sits down. Then the pastor gets to the point of the sermon and to the vows. And he says, looks at the groom and says, "May I have the ring, please?" Ladies, let me ask you a question. What if your groom-to-be did this to you on your wedding day? On your special day. And he says, "May I have the ring, please?" And the groom says, "Psst, skip it." "No, there's no time for groom joke. I need the ring. Give me the ring." "Psst, pastor, just skip it. It's not about the ring. It's about our love for each other. I need the ring. I've got to talk about the unending circles, you know, the purity. Give me the ring." "No, pastor, we're not going to do that." Now, ladies, let me ask you a question, just out of curiosity. How many of you, by a show of hands, if your bride to, or your groom-to-be did that to you on your special day, would not go bridezilla all over his head right there at the altar? Raise your hand. Raise them up. You got to be kidding me. The rest of you ladies? Y'all lying, you're going to hell. Y'all all a bunch of liars. Just a bunch of liars in this place. Don't even act like you wouldn't. You know you would. If he did that in front of all your friends and family and he embarrassed you and didn't have a ring for you on that place with a rock on it, you would go bridezilla all over him right there. Don't act, oh, no, Pastor, we wouldn't do that. I love Jesus. No, you love that rock. You would go all over him right there. Ladies, since nobody in this place except about five women can be honest in here, I'm going to show y'all honesty, ladies. Men, let me ask you a question. How many of you, if your bride-to-be, you worked hard for that ring? I mean, spent mucho dinero. And some ladies going, does this look like mucho dinero to you? I'm going to show you mucho dinero. This is like a cigar. This car is a cross between a cigarette and a cigar. Cigar ring. One of them cigar rings. Now, let me, guys, you thought about this, how you going to propose. And, I mean, you even, like, took her out to a really nice restaurant. And you even, like, cleaned behind your ears and stuff. And took her one of them kind of, I mean, had real silverwares. Not the kind with the little, like, you know, glass with the letter M on it. I'm talking about, like, a real glass, real silverware. And you got down on your knee. And you proposed to her in front of the whole restaurant. And you said, will you marry me? What if she did this? Oh, that's a pretty ring. Because I picked it out. And I want to keep that. And I want you to buy me a new house. I want you to buy me a new car. I want you to take me shopping on a regular basis and keep me taking these nice restaurants. But, honey, I also won't keep dating other people, too. Ladies, y'all want to see honesty? Watch this. Hey, men, how many of you, if your bride-to-be did that to you in that restaurant, would not take that ring and chuck it in a lake? No, you would take it back, hawk it, get your money back, raise your hand. Y'all see that, ladies? Y'all see the honesty right there? See the honesty in the house? See, we ain't shy. No, we're honest. All right, put your hands down. All right, now let me ask you a question. If you don't want anybody to do that to you, because that would say they're embarrassed of you or they're not committed to you, if you don't want anybody to do that to you, then why do you think you can do that to Jesus? Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, because here's the deal. We go in front of everybody and we celebrate our love for our spouse and we put a ring on, letting everybody know that we're committing our life to our spouse. How much more should we celebrate Jesus, who died on the cross for us, gave his life, his blood for us? How much more should we celebrate and follow through once we've invited Christ to come to our life, that we follow through and identify with him by being baptized? See, baptism is the wedding ring of the Christian life. And before this thing is over with tonight, there's going to be a ton of people in here follow through and be scripturally baptized. Can I get a witness on a fresh start? Amen? All right. So here's what we're going to do. Mr. Steve, I want you guys to shut those doors, lock them right now, and don't let anybody out. I'm just playing. Y'all see visitors looking around like, is he serious? Is he serious? I'm just playing. All right. But if you leave now, we know why. All right, I'm just kidding. All right, now, here's what we're going to do. This is going to be short and sweet. You know why we got to get to it? Because we're going to baptize a lot of people here tonight. So this is going to be real simple, real short. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do tonight. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take my Bible, and if you don't like my Bible, give me your Bible. I'll preach out of your Bible. Whether you have a Catholic Bible or whether you have a Protestant Bible, what I'm preaching is in your Bible tonight. I'm not talking like a Baptist or Catholic, a Methodist, a Presbyterian. I'm just showing you what's in the Bible, okay? Because here's the thing. Even though we're in a Baptist church tonight, there's going to be a bunch of Baptist people get mad tonight. Y'all just going to have to deal with it. Because if you don't like what I'm saying, show me in the Bible where it's different. All right? So I don't care what your denomination is. I'm just a believer who loves Jesus, a follower of Christ, and I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says, okay? So here's what it says real quick. Romans chapter 6. Verse 3, the Bible says this. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you bless and anoint your word tonight. Speak to people, change lives, and save entire families, Lord. We give you glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so first of all, what is baptism? What is baptism? People talk about it a lot of times, all these different denominations about it. What is baptism? All right, first of all, you need to know this. In the Bible, whether you have a Catholic Bible or Protestant Bible, in the Bible, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. That's the original language it was written in. In the New Testament, it was written in Greek. Okay, wasn't it written in King James? I know it's going to shock a bunch of you, but it was written in Greek. So here's what happened. Where it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, he says, or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus, that word baptized, the Greek word is baptizo. And that word literally means to immerse. That means to put totally underwater. You're saying, you're telling me that he told us to be baptized that way? Did you know that everybody in the New Testament that was baptized was immersed? They were put underwater totally. Every Greek word, it's talking about immersed. You say, why were they baptized that way? Because they all understood what the symbol meant. Here's what the symbol is. When you go underwater, it's a symbol your old person, your old nature, your sin, your junk, that old way of life, it's buried. Just like Jesus, when he died on the cross, they took him down from the cross and they buried him. So when you go underwater, it's a symbol that old nature, it's buried. When you come up out of the water, it's a symbol you're a new person in Christ. Like Jesus when he rose from the dead. That's what it symbolized. And everybody in the New Testament that was baptized that way. Here's the deal. Bottom line is this. Baptism, it's an outward expression of an inward change. Just like this ring did not make me love my wife before I walked down the aisle. I already loved her. Before I walked down that aisle, I loved her before we even went through all that stuff with my groomsmen and all that stuff. I loved her before that. Now, I just put this ring on to let everybody know I've committed my life to her and no one else. She's the only woman in my life. That's it. That's what baptism is. Baptism is when you get baptized and you go underwater and you come up out, it's letting everybody know, hey, I'm now a follower of Christ and I just want you to know that, and I'm letting everybody know that I'm identifying with him. I'm celebrating my love for him. That's what it is. Because here's the deal. If baptism would save you, because baptism doesn't save you. Does everybody know that? Baptism doesn't save you. But if baptism did save you, instead of me speaking, here's what I'd have done. I'd have hooked me up a water hose behind this horse trough. When it came time for this deal, I'd whip out that water hose. I'd hose every one of y'all down, get y'all all soaking wet. Y'all people in the back in that little cubby hole, y'all be sprinkled. Y'all be Methodist. I just make sure everybody is going to go to heaven. All right, but guess what? Baptism doesn't save you. It just lets everybody else know you've been saved. Old, buried, way of life, past, junk, buried, come up out of the water, new person in Christ. Can I get a witness on a fresh start now? Amen? All right. So here's what, that's what baptism is. So you say, okay, Ronnie, I understand what it is, but Ronnie, what I don't understand is, why am I supposed to do it? What's the big deal? All right, real quick. Why are you supposed to be baptized? Couple of things. First of all, the Bible says this. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says this. Then Jesus came to Galilee, from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, oh, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, hey, by the way, Greek word once again, baptizo. Jesus was immersed. As soon as Jesus was baptized and came up out of the water, here's what happened. He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus need to get baptized to get forgiveness of sin? No. Jesus was sinless. You know what that means? Jesus never, ever sinned. ever. So you say, well, then why was Jesus baptized? Jesus was baptized to identify with us and to set the example for us. Just like the old prophets of old, Moses, Nehemiah, Daniel, Ezra. None of them had sinned and left God. The nation of Israel had disobeyed God. But they confessed sin on behalf of the nation of Israel. Jesus had never sinned. He was just setting the example for us and identifying with us. That's why he was baptized. That's the first reason you need to be baptized. Now let me show you the second. Second reason is because Jesus commands us to be baptized. In Matthew 28, 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands us to be baptized. Third reason you need to be baptized is because the Bible commands us to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me just break it down for you, bottom line. Bottom line, what's baptism all about? Baptism is just a matter of obedience. Just a matter of obedience. That's what it's all about. And there's a lot of you that are here tonight, and you struggle with whether you're saved or not. And you're back and forth. Am I saved? Am I not saved? A bunch of you are struggling with that because once you've given your life to Christ, you've never fallen through mid-scripture to baptize. And so you're constantly dealing with it. And it's just a matter of obedience. And that's the first thing we're supposed to do. Because let me ask you a question. How can you be a faithful Sunday school teacher, a deacon, an FCA leader? How can you be faithful? If you won't obey what Jesus tells us as believers, the first thing that we're to do once we give our life to Christ, we're to follow through and identify with him and be scripturally baptized. If you won't obey him there, how are you going to obey him in the rest of your Christian walk? Really? It's just a matter of obedience. And I'm going to tell you this. If you follow through tonight and you obey God, God will bless your obedience. I was in California preaching one time. On the second row, right-hand side, there was a lady that was a counselor in the crusade. She had a counselor badge on. She had her Bible. We stood up, gave the invitation. She took her badge off, put her Bible down and her badge down. She walked out and gave told to the pastor. She said, Pastor, I need to be baptized. My baptism's out of order. I've never been scripturally baptized since I've given my life to Christ. As soon as she did that, her 16-year-old son that she'd been praying for years to be baptized walked right behind his mom, gave his life to Christ, and was saved. God blessed that mother's obedience, and God will bless your obedience. You say, okay, Ronnie, I understand what baptism is. I understand why I'm supposed to do it, but Ronnie, what I am totally confused about is when am I supposed to be baptized? People saying different stuff here and there and all that kind of stuff. I don't know when. All right, here we go. Two things on when you're supposed to be baptized, and we're done. Are you ready? First of all, on when. You're to be baptized after you give your life to Christ, not before. And some of y'all got the cart before the horse. Some of y'all were baptized first as a baby. Then later on in your life, you gave your life to Christ, and you got saved. And since then, you haven't been scripturally baptized. You say, oh, no, Ronnie, I've been baptized 3 or 4 times. No, when was it? Was it after you gave your life to Christ, or was it before? See, you can't be scripturally baptized until you're saved to begin with. And you say, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, the Bible talks about, first of all, in Acts chapter 8, verse 13, Simon believed, and then he was baptized. You want another one? I can give you a whole bunch of them, but I'm just going to give you two. Acts chapter 10, verse 47 said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized? They received the Holy Spirit. So they believed and they received the Holy Spirit, and then they were baptized. It wasn't before. It's always after you give your life to Christ. Some of you have the same story that my wife had. My wife grew up in Florida, and my wife was 10 years old. She woke up one morning, and her mom said, hey, honey, we're taking you and your baby brother, he was just a few months old, we're taking you and your baby brother down to church this morning, and we're going to baptize you. My wife was 10. She's like, okay. They go to church, baptize her baby brother. My wife goes her whole life going around thinking just because she was a good girl, just because she was baptized, she was going to get to heaven. It wasn't until my wife was 26 years of age, she realized that the only way her sins could be forgiven was because Jesus died on the cross for her sins. He was buried and he rose again. So my wife at 26 repented of her sins, invited Jesus to come to her life, and she was changed. She was saved. As soon as she did that, she followed through and she was scripturally baptized. You say, but wait, that's kind of rude, isn't it? I mean, isn't that kind of like a slap in her face to her mom? I mean, no. I'm sure that baptism was special with her mom, and I'm sure it was meaningful with her mom, but it was not scriptural with her mom. And my wife knew it was more important to obey what God says than worry about what anybody says, including her mom. Guess what happened? She told her mom. Her mom ended up coming and seeing her baptized. Some of you got your baptism out of order. You need to take care of that tonight. You've been walking around in disobedience as a believer, and you need to obey God tonight. Second thing about when you need to be baptized, and then we're done. And this is the part right here where we're going to have some Baptists get a little feathers ruffled. So because of that, here's what I need. I need all Baptists. Would y'all just take a deep breath real quick? Because I don't want y'all stressing out and having a heart attack or anything like that. So just kind of exhale. Okay? One more time, just to make sure. No, don't want nobody blowing a gasket or anything. All right, so just kind of, okay? Remember, what matters is, what does the Bible say? Not what does anybody else say, what does the Bible say? The second thing on when you're baptized, are you ready, Baptist? It's immediate. Hang on, don't be freaking out. It's immediate, okay? Do you understand? It's not 6 weeks later, it's not 6 months later. It's not 2 years later. It's not, well, let's see if they really meant it, and then if they mean it, then we'll baptize them. No, nowhere in the Bible did that happen. Everybody that gave their life to Christ was baptized on the spot. You don't believe me? Let's look here in the Bible, see what the Bible says. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized. By the way, once again, Greek word, baptizo, immersed. They were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Did you hear what they said? Right here. They were saved and baptized the same day. They didn't go through 6 weeks. They didn't go through 6 months of classes. They didn't go through, 101, whatever. No, boom, baptized on the spot. You say, but Ronnie, you got to understand, that was the early church. They were unorganized. Look, Peter was running around with his head chopped off basically most of the time. He didn't know where he's going, what he's doing. He's crazy. You know, they didn't have the class. They're not organized like we are now. Have our discipleship classes. Okay, that's not good enough for you? You want me to give you another one? I'll give you another one. Here we go. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Now, this guy, there's an evangelist involved in this deal. Okay? His name was Philip. So Philip was told by the Holy Spirit to go over and stand by this chariot. So he goes by the horses and by the chariot, and he's standing there, and the Ethiopian eunuch standing there, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. Philip looks up at him and says, hey, you understand what you're reading? He said, man, how can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? So get up in this chariot. So he gets up in the chariot. Philip ends up explaining to him. Dude ends up getting saved while they're going down the road. Here's what happened. Verse 36, as they travel along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, hey, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him on the spot. Right there on the spot. Hey, guess what? Y'all ready for this? Wasn't no deacons around. No deacons to vote on it. But hey, no baptism committee to hand him a towel. No, it was Philip and the eunuch. That was it. Nobody else. Oh, I'm about ready to blow your minds right here. Okay, ready for this, Baptist? Hey, guess what? He wasn't even from their church. Oh, no. Dude was from Ethiopia. He was, matter of fact, he wasn't even from their association. No, Joker was all the way up in Ethiopia. He knew, okay, I'm headed back to Ethiopia. Dude, I might get killed on the way back. I better obey God right now. He wasn't worried about some church, some denomination, something like that. Baptized him on the spot. Y'all ready for this? He had no family with him either. Zero. just obey God. You need to do that tonight, right here. You say, well, Ronnie, that's just crazy because they had an evangelist involved. That's why they did all that. Y'all, you evangelists are the same way. Y'all just crazy. That's why y'all do it. No. I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. I told you I could give you a bunch. I'm just going to give you one more. And if you don't like this, the dude I'm about to tell you right now wrote the majority of the New Testament. So if you don't like what this dude says, you're going to have to tear out majority of your Bible and just walk around with a little leather flap, might put a day timer in there or something, just a little flap. All right, y'all ready for this one? Here it is. Guy's name was Paul, all right? Here's what happened with Paul. Paul was in jail with, you remember that, when Paul was in jail with Silas? And he's crying out to God, they're praising God, singing and stuff like that. All of a sudden, earthquake, bust the jails open, all the guys taking off. So jailer's about to kill himself because all of his convicts are getting escaped and stuff. So if he don't kill himself, his boss is going to kill him in the morning. So he's about to do it, and Paul's like, hey, don't be doing that. Don't be killing yourself. We're right here. So verse 29, the jailer called for lights. He rushed in, and he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your whole household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, now remember, the earthquake took place about midnight. So by the time he gets back over to the jailer's house and all that kind of stuff, they eat and wash up wounds. Dudes, and he preaches. It's at least minimum 2 o'clock in the morning. Y'all with me on this? 2 o'clock in the morning. Dude's getting baptized. So you know he's not no Baptist, all right? So then it says, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, then immediately, you want to underline that in your Bible, immediately he and all of his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy. Circle that in your Bible. Filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. There's a bunch of you here tonight. You don't have no joy. You can have it tonight. You can have joy, you can have peace, you can have purpose, you can have meaning that nothing else can give you. Not a relationship, not things, not material possessions, not a house, not a rock, none of that can give you. Only Jesus. He's the only one that can give you that peace and joy. And you can walk out of here tonight free. You say, but Ronnie, man, I don't know. I can't get baptized tonight. Because see, some of you ladies, I know how y'all are thinking. Some of y'all think y'all got some good excuses why you can't get baptized. And guess what? Some of you got some really good excuses, but guess what? I've been working on your excuses, so I'm ready for them. All right? So ladies, look right up here. All ladies, would y'all look right here? Some of y'all sitting there, Ronnie, I'd be baptized, but, you know, it's not summer. We're in winter now. And because we're in winter, my legs aren't tan. Or some of you ladies, my legs are ashen. And so I can't get baptized. Look right here. Ladies, y'all look right here. I'm going to tell y'all right now. I've got some skinny, white chicken legs. All right? I do. I got skinny chicken legs. So look right here. Everybody look right here. I'm sorry, you people in the back. I don't know if y'all can see this or not. But I'm just look. See them skinny, white chicken legs? What you laughing about? What are you laughing? I do have some muscle, like right here. Little definition. See a little definition right there? Do y'all see him right here? Y'all don't laugh too hard. Hey, dude, don't laugh too hard at me, okay? All right. See that right there? All right, let me ask you a question. If I can show you my skinny, white chicken legs, can't you get a little wet for Jesus? Really? I don't care what you think about me. Because what I think is, what I'm worried about is more worried about what God thinks about me than what you think about me. That's what we need to be worried about. And I'm going to cover up these things right here before people start falling out. Dude right here, he's laughing at me right here. Saying, dude, you need to go to the gym more. I know, I'm just, you know. But some of you ladies going, Ronnie, that's just not even funny. I've got a really serious excuse. Ronnie, I would be baptized tonight, but Ronnie, I got family. I got family all up and down the East Coast. I got family in the West Coast, and I want them all to come in. See me baptized for this special occasion. I really want that to happen. Hey, ladies, y'all worried about that? All right, here's what we got. Where's Robin? Robin, would you slide out here just a little bit? She's going to put that baby down here in a minute. But she's got a camera. Where's your camera at, Robin? Get that camera. Hold that camera up. Now, you're going to have to, Robin, you're going to have to get rid of the baby here in just a minute. All right. Y'all see that camera? All right, she's got a good camera. Here's what she's going to do. She's going to be sitting right up here, and she's going to be taking pictures. You don't have to come right now because you got to get rid of that baby anyway. She's going to be taking pictures of everybody getting baptized. And you know what you can do? Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have those pictures ready for you, some 5x7s here at the church in the foyer Sunday. You can come back here and you can get that picture, and you know what you can do? You can send it to Walmart. They can make wallet-sized pictures of you being baptized. You can send it to your family all up and down the East Coast, West Coast, everybody, letting everybody know, hey, I got baptized Wednesday night. You want me to tell you what else you can do? They got this thing now called Fathead for athletes. You can send it off to Fathead, blow that puppy up, life-size, put it on your wall, get everybody to come over after church on Sunday and go, whoo, there it is. You missed it, but there it is right there. Me getting baptized. If you're so worried about your family not seeing you baptized, all right, guess what? What did we say? Ethiopian eunuch had how many? Zero with him. Zero. It's not about your family. It's about obeying God. And you're going to take care of it right here tonight. You said, but Ronnie, man, I would. But Ronnie, listen, I didn't know you were preaching on this. Man, I've been thinking about this, but man, I can't do it. I can't do it right now, Ronnie, because, hey, Ronnie, look, what you see is what you get. I didn't bring no clothes. I didn't bring no towel. I didn't bring nothing. Hey, guess what? I got you covered. We got you some drawers. We got big drawers. Stretchy drawers. We got little bitty drawers. We got all size drawers. Okay? Good, clean drawers. We got all kinds of drawers. We not only got you a drawers, we got you a t-shirt, we got you a dark color t-shirt, we got you a towel. There it is. Towel. And you have no excuse. None. You can do it tonight, right here. Oh, wait. I forgot. There are some people in here who have a good excuse. And that's those of you that have never given your life to Christ. See, because here's the deal. This isn't about getting wet. This is about a relationship with Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. You can take care of it right now. And those of you that have never given your life to Christ, you don't have any peace, you don't have any purpose, and you finally realize that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and it's not a denomination, it's not a church that's going to get you into heaven, it's a relationship with Christ, and you're willing to repent and turn from your sins for everything that you've ever done, and you want to commit your life to Him. Hey, I'm talking about no longer anteing up. I'm talking about the chips all in. Say, hey, I'm all in on this deal. If you've never done that before and you want to do it right here, right now, I'm going to give you a chance. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer. We're not blessing the food, though. I'm talking about committing your life to Christ. And if you're willing to say, God, I have messed up. I have sinned. I have sinned against you. God, would you please forgive me of my sins? God, I am turning from my sin, and I want to invite you into my life to be my boss, my Lord, and my Savior. If you've never done that before and you would like to, you'd like to walk out of here with joy, I'm going to give you an opportunity right where you're seated or standing to pray and invite Christ to come to your life right here, right now. Do me a favor, if you mind. You said, Ron, you really think people are going to come up here and do this? You think people are going to fall through and be baptized? Oh, I know. I know they are. Like last week, we were at Cowboy Church. Brian, raise your hand. See that man right there? A lot of people think I'm lying all the time, making stuff up. We were at Brian's church last week, just on Wednesday night, like tonight. We baptized just on Wednesday night 130, 140 people. Yeah, one dude had a warrant for his arrest. Yeah, sheriff was over there. They couldn't find that dude forever. Over there taking pictures of him. Right behind the dude, the warrant for the arrest that got saved and was being baptized, right behind him were two kids that were the city chief of police's kids, got saved and baptized. Sheriff's wife said, hey, told her husband, who's the sheriff, she said, you better not arrest him tonight. That dude, He walked out free. Let me tell you something. God can do that for you. He said, Ron, you really believe that people are going to do it? Yes. Hey, I was the first time I preached this message. We had 200 people baptized in one service on Sunday morning. Yeah, you think it's a bunch of kids? No, we had no kids that day. No, they were all in another service. Do you know who one of them was? One of them was a guy that was a flight engineer for Air Force One for President Bush and President Obama. He got saved and baptized. You want another one? A guy named Johnny that was scared to death of water and crowds. He got saved in the 70s but never was baptized. He was baptized that morning. We had a guy just get out of prison, just got married. He and his wife were saved and baptized. We had a girl that was working, putting with the towels and giving people towels and all that stuff. She worked for the church. She had surgery on her nose, could not get it wet. But you know what she did? She got an oxygen mask put over her nose so that when she went underwater, her nose would stay dry and she could obey God. And you think you have an excuse. Last week at Cowboy Church, we had a little boy that had open heart surgery, could not get any bacteria in his wound or anything. So we didn't know that he was getting baptized. And so we'd already baptized about 20 people. So we had to drain the tub, fill it back up so he could fall through. And not only did he get baptized and was saved, his whole family was. Dad, mom, brothers, sisters, everybody. So here's the deal. Right now, those of you that don't have a relationship with Christ, you can right now. So do me a favor if you don't mind. Can we, nobody get up, nobody leave for 2 minutes. Just give me 2 minutes. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Ronnie, that's me. I don't have any joy. Ronnie, I don't have a relationship with Christ, and I want one tonight. If that's you, then you pray that prayer with me. Just as I mentioned earlier, you just pray with me and invite him to come into your life and save you and change you. Pray this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I've messed up. And I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. And God, I turn from my sins. And I invite you into my life to be my boss and my Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around. I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I don't believe in that. I just want to pray for you. If you're here tonight and you say, Ronnie, for the first time in my life, I understood what I was doing. I meant business. And I just prayed that prayer and I invited Jesus to come to my life. If you just prayed that prayer with me, would just those of you that prayed that prayer, would you just look up at me right now and let me catch your eyes? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Got you, buddy. Okay, got you, buddy, over here. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Over here on this side, this section in the back. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, right here. Yes, sir, in the back. Yes, sir. Over here on this side. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Got you, sweetie. All right, right here. In the back. Got you in the back. Anybody else? Say, Ron, that's me. I just prayed that prayer. Okay, right here. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Okay. Would just those of you that prayed that prayer, would you just keep looking up at me just for a second? Everybody else's heads bowed and eyes closed. Just those that prayed that prayer. I want you to know this. According to what the Bible says, all of you that just prayed that prayer, according to what the Bible says, God has forgiven you of everything you have ever done. That's good news. You don't have to carry that baggage, that guilt, that shame anymore. It's gone. It's forgiven. It's a load off. Not only that, when you die, you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven. Not because you went to church another time or you threw some money in the plate, but because Jesus died on the cross for you. So you say, okay, so what am I supposed to do now? You know. You're to celebrate your love for your Father. And so here's what we're going to do. In just a second, when we stand, I'm going to pray. When I say amen, they're going to play a CD. And we're not playing, we're not having the band play or anybody. You know why? Because I'm letting everybody have a chance to obey God tonight. And I can't tell you how many worship leaders and band members I've seen come on a night like tonight. So we're playing a CD. So when we stand and I pray and I say amen, all of you that prayed and invited Christ to come to your life, you come to me, you come to the pastor. Pastor, where are you at? Brother Jonathan, is he out? Would you come over here? He's going to be standing here. I'm going to be standing right here. We got other people. I'll catch you at either aisle. I'll catch you here or here. He'll catch you over here. And we got people called encouragers. Okay? Now, all my encouragers, would you raise your hand? All my encouragers. Encouragers, when I say, man, I want you to come, and as soon as you get them back there and show them where to go and talk to them, pray with them, give them their clothes, come back in here because I'm going to need some help. You're going to have to counsel several people tonight, okay? So you say, what are we going to do? You're going to come up here. We're going to introduce these folks. They're going to take you right at the back. We've got some material we want to give you, and not only that, we want to pray for you. And then if you don't have a Bible, we're going to give you a Bible because you start a spiritual journey with God today, and we want to help you grow and get to know him. But not only that, you're going to get those clothes. You're going to go in a private changing area. You're going to come back in here. We're going to baptize you. You're going to go right out that door, go right back out there, and get changed into your other clothes. And you're going to walk out of here with joy tonight. That's what this is about. Is awesome, and you will not regret it. I'm telling you. Would you do me a favor? Those of you that are looking up at me, would you put your heads down now? I have one more group of people I need to talk to. And that's those of you who you know you're a Christian, you're a believer, and you've invited Christ to come to your life. And since you've given your life to Christ, you just realize you've never followed through and been scripturally baptized like Jesus. Maybe you're baptized first as a kid or something. Later in life, you gave your life to Christ. And since you've been saved, you haven't been scripturally baptized. Your baptism is out of order, or you've just never had the opportunity to be baptized since you've given your life to Christ. You say, Ryan, that's me. God spoke to me about that, and I know I need to obey God, and I need to do it tonight. Because, listen, you're not joining this church. You go to another church on a regular basis. We're not trying to steal you from your church. Man, you go back to your church. You let your pastor know what you did. We're not trying to say, you are saying, I am obeying God tonight because I might not make it till Sunday. We don't know. But you say, I'm going to obey God tonight. If that's you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and God spoke to you about getting your baptism in order or following through and being scripturally baptized since you've been saved, would you look up at me and let me catch your eyes? Yes, ma'am. Got you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Got you, buddy. Got you, buddy. Yes, sir. Anybody else right? Yes, sir. Anybody else here? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am, right over here. Over here on this side. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, got you, sweetie. Got you. All right. Anybody else over here on this side? Yes, sir. In the back. Yes, sir. In the far back. Anybody else? Okay. Those of you that looked up at me, we're going to do the same thing. When we stand, I say amen. They start playing that CD. You step out and come. We'll be right here for you. But I need you to do me a favor, okay? We're going to have a lot of people coming, so just be patient with us. We're going to get this thing done, and we're going to get it done fast, all right? So could we also, Jonathan, who else is lined up that could, Drew could baptize, right? We're going to baptize in two. We're going to baptize here in this trough and also in the baptistry, so this thing will go quicker, okay? So could you do me a favor? Can you right now, and those of you who are counselors, encouragers, when I say amen, I'll need you to counsel three, four, maybe five people each. And my cowboy pastor, can you also come? And any other pastors that are in here, come as well. And if any of your people come, you go ahead and come on, and you can baptize your people as well. Can you do me a favor? Can we all please stand now with heads bowed and eyes closed? Heads bowed, eyes closed. As soon as I say amen, you step out and come. Jennifer, you ready? Let's pray. Father, we ask you to move right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come on right now. Counselors, come help us, please.
Confidence. It's only by your blood.
you grab a seat real quick? Can you grab a seat if you don't mind? And if you can, Jennifer, you tell him to bring it down half. Bring it down halfway. Thank you. If you would, no, keep it. I want to be able to hear it halfway, okay? If you do me a favor, they're going to get ready, get changed, get baptized, to get baptized and all that stuff. But here's the thing. There's a lot of you in here that you looked up at me, and there's some of you that didn't even look up, but you need to do this. But I need to tell you one story. I was in Justin, Texas, which is north of my house, about 10 miles. And I was preaching at church, First Baptist Justin, and there's about 200 people there that morning. We baptized 22 people that morning. After church was over with, a gentleman in his 60s got in his truck with his wife, drove home, pulled in his parking lot or in his driveway of his house. He put the truck in park, left it running, and looked at his wife. This is a gentleman in his 60s. Looked at his wife and he said, "Honey, that was me. I was supposed to do that this morning." She said, "Well, turn around and go back." So he turned the truck around, came back to church. It was dismissed. Everybody was gone except about 10 of us. He came up to me. He said, "Ronnie, I was supposed to do that today." I said, "Well, hey, there's the pastor. Let's go." Pastor took him back there, baptized him. I told y'all all that to tell you this. I'm just trying to save you some gas money. Because you're going to drive all the way home. Last week at Cowboy Church, we had a lady drive all the way home, get out of her car, go in her house. I can't stand it no more. Turn around, came back, was baptized at the church. So here's the deal. I'm just trying to save you a trip, okay? So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be down here. At any point, at any time, while the pastor's taking up an offering, while we're baptizing, you can still come at any time. It's not too late. I will be right down here. You just give me an eye. I see you coming. I'll catch you on that aisle. I'll catch you on that one. Wherever you come now, I will catch you, and we will take care of that tonight. Okay? It's not too late. Steve, Mark, can y'all get Jonathan? Tell him to come on back in here. We're going to get him in here. He's going to get ready to get start baptizing people. And by the way, he's about to do the offering, and I just want y'all to know this. It's for our ministry to tell people about Jesus. If you're a guest, we don't want anything from you. It's not your responsibility, okay? It's the church, and so don't think you have to give anything. Tell the pastor. Here you go. Come on, Jonathan.
Hey, just real quick, this part, I just want to thank Ronnie. Ronnie's been here all week. Ronnie's a great guy. He's a fun guy, great communicator, and God uses him in a very special way. This announcement I'm about to give right now, it's for our church people. If you're a guest, if you came with somebody, it's not for you. But we believe that God wanted us to have Ronnie here this week, and so we want to take up an offering for Ronnie. And I know that some of y'all may think, it's about money, but it's not about money. Ronnie has 9 guys that oversee him because it takes 9 guys to take care of this guy. But they set what his salary is going to be for the year. He didn't get a penny more than that. And anything that we give goes into him being able to travel and share the gospel with other churches. But, again, if you're a guest tonight, don't give anything. If you came with somebody, don't give anything. But if you're a church member here, we wanted him to come, and so we want to support him. I don't know how many, if we have any youth or any adults in here, because a lot of ours are counseling. If you're a member, can you come up here? Anybody? Is anybody left up here? You guys? All right, that'll be great. All right. So you guys just go ahead and pass that, and I'm going to go change my pants to baptize.